Welcome to the Breakfast Leadership Show, where we interview global thought leaders on business, leadership, and life. Here's your host, keynote speaker, best-selling author, and chief burnout officer of the Breakfast Leadership Network, Michael Levitt.
Welcome back. I've got Kathy Hadazeda on the line. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I know we booked this a while ago, so I've been looking forward to it. And I saw it on the calendar this morning. I'm like, finally, get to talk to Kathy. So why don't you share a little bit about you, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Absolutely. So I'm a former technology executive with Fortune 500 and 100 companies. And since 2018, I have been focused in the space of executive coaching, advisory, and leadership development, especially in the tech, product, and engineering space.
And that's an important field that needs a lot of guidance and coaching because, you know, from, you know, obviously in your roles before, you saw the rise of technology and its usage in everyday life to the point where that 99.9% uptime takes a toll on people because everything has to work. There's so many things that are connected to each other, and one little patch or upgrade or something like that can, you know, bring down systems across the globe if you're not watching it. So it's definitely a stressful type of situation, but a lot of opportunity and really important work as well.
Absolutely. You are very right. It is the kind of work that even people, when they get the opportunity to rise, sometimes they are hesitant because they don't want to sacrifice their lifestyle or sacrifice their mental health with the situation of putting themselves in a position that they can get a call anytime, which is the reality of that kind of industry.
Exactly. And some of the smaller businesses, and we have a lot of small businesses that listen to the show, you know, they don't have a huge IT team, or they may not have one at all and they outsource it. But it's a situation where if you don't have a large team, then, you know, those individuals, they're wearing a lot of hats, and, you know, they could be on call all the time. You know, I have, you know, somebody that I know really well that, you know, worked for an organization, I'm not going to mention any names, but had a relatively small IT team, but they leaned way too much on this person. And, you know, it got to the point where it took some huge, you know, mental and physical toll on this individual to the point where they said, no, you know, I'm leaving this organization. It was a dream job, but they left and, you know, went into government work, which was a, you know, much slower pace, not being critical or judgmental in any way. It just, but typically it tends to be a little bit slower pace in that type of environment. And it's a much better environment for him. And it's a situation where it's sad that people would, you know, need to leave that quote unquote dream job just because the upper management and ownership wouldn't invest the money that they definitely have to make sure that their IT department was rightly staffed.
You're very right. It's not just a matter of money. It's a matter of awareness. It's a matter of even these people being able to communicate fully and openly that I'm on the verge of burnout. And one thing that maybe pandemic has really brought a lot of maybe unfavorable things for us, but one thing that I can see is that people have become bolder and more aware of the burnout and their threshold and their capacity, and they have more courage to speak up in these kind of cases.
Yeah, it's leveling the playing field a little bit. And I think that's good. I think that, you know, a lot of people have, you know, said they wanted to launch their own businesses and all that. And that's not for everyone. I'm not saying that, you know, not anybody could launch their business. They could, but it's not an easy road to do it, to go out on your own. But, you know, for those that, you know, have, you know, the skill set and the knowledge and are teachable, they can be successful as an entrepreneur. But for those that, you know, don't have those skills and aren't interested in learning how to do those things, then it comes down to, okay, I need to speak up a little bit more at work about, you know, these hours, the constant connectivity. You got to have some boundaries around when I'm working and when I'm not. And on organizations, quite frankly, you know, I'm not doing a blanket statement per se, but a lot of organizations have been getting away with this type of behavior for a long time, especially since the Great Recession back in 2008, 2009, 2010, where a lot of people were let go and organizations kind of shrunk in size. And I know the IT budget was definitely cut because I worked at organizations that did that. And they said, well, we'll just, you know, we'll limp along. And then as we get, you know, things recover, then we'll bring those people back. Well, in many cases, they didn't bring them back. And just the people that were there were taking on more responsibility. And while, yes, you know, some were compensated for it, it's not always about the money. It's about your well-being, because if you're overworked, it doesn't matter how much money you're making, you can't enjoy it. Your health, your mental health, your physical health take a toll. So great, you're making six figures, or, you know, mid to high six figures potentially if you're an executive. If you're, you know, working 28-hour days, that's going to take a toll on you. So it's important, I think, for organizations to recognize that. And, you know, it leads in, you know, to the work that you've been doing now. So why don't you, you know, share a bit about, you know, the business that you've got, and, you know, and what you're doing to help these organizations take a pause and reflect on some things so they don't, you know, overwhelm themselves and burn out not only themselves as executives, but their teams as well.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So one of the biggest things, realizations that I had to experience in my life when I got paused by life was, you cannot be always on the go. There is no way anybody has the capacity to be always on the go. And we experience it with our physical body, but maybe we don't have such a recognition when it comes to our brain. Because how many times do we even think about our brain or brain health or how to take care of our brain? It's an entity that is functioning and it is serving us every single day of our lives. So we take it for granted. It's a good brain. It's working, especially if you're an executive, especially if you're a high achiever. You definitely have had a very good ride with this organ. So one thing that is important, it is to understand that we need to be able to take care of this organ the same way that we take care of our body, and we are aware of that. That is where pause comes in, because pause will have two effects for us. First, it helps the brain, like the physical function of the brain, the health of the brain. The pause is a necessity for it. And I'm talking about intentional pause, because our brain is normal, is working 24/7, if we want to be realistic. So how do we take care of this amazing machine? And the other part of it is that we might not be able to know if we are going the right direction if we are just on this fast train and going for it. It is like getting in the car and just saying, go. Especially now that we have these driverless cars, the idea is that just go. And if you just say go, where do we end up? Nobody knows. And so it is important to kind of take a pause and see, am I still in the wrong train? Is this the train I want to be on it moving forward? You had a beautiful point. There are people who had thought that they have a dream job. My dream job when I was 24, it was different from my dream job as I was when I was 30. And definitely 40 is a different way of thinking. People evolve in their life. And if they are not evolving, there is a question for them to ask themselves, why am I still enjoying what I enjoyed at my 20s? That's an interesting thing. Our body changes, our emotions change, our family status changes, our relationships change. So why would you stay in the same dream for eternity? So there's a lot of things to think about.
Of course. And I think, like you just said, you know, the dream job that I had in my 20s, I wouldn't dream of working in that type of environment today. Same thing with my 30s would be the same thing. I wouldn't want to go back to that. And then in my 40s, the roles that I was in there, I certainly don't want to go back into that field. And, you know, now that I'm in my 50s, you know, there's, you know, a lot of things that I like to do, and, you know, with my own company and helping out other companies on different things, I enjoy doing that. But, you know, who's to say in the next 10 years that I don't, you know, change things a little bit? But that's where that pause comes into play. That's where you kind of stop and do a reflection. And this is an exercise that I do at least once a year, usually twice, but usually towards the end of the year around the holidays. I will literally grab the parking brake and stop, literally stop working and block off my calendar. Don't schedule a thing. Don't do anything. Don't barely look at emails. Just kind of skim for anything that I need to address. But then I just kind of reflect and I stop and I go, okay, how is my workflow? What are the tools that I'm using? Is there anything I can do to simplify things or eliminate that's not making any difference? What are the things that I worked on this year that I enjoyed? What are the things that I worked on? Did I not care for as much? What would I like to do next year? What if I could design my ideal year for 2024, what would I like to do? Whether it comes from personal standpoint, vacations, work, you name it, map it out. And then from there go, okay, well, how do I take that trip? What do I need? You know, money is one. Okay. Time away, of course. What am I going to do on that trip? Am I just going to hang out at the resort or hotel, or am I going to stay with friends? What am I doing? You know, and just you start dreamscaping basically and going, okay, what am I going to accomplish next year? And you just start taking steps and you make a couple decent decisions a day. That's over 700 great decisions a year. That was from an interview that I did earlier today with a couple people that wrote a great book on that. It's just, if we improve a couple decisions that we make every day, because we make thousands of decisions a day, it just makes for such a better life. But like the work that you do, it's so important to take that pause.
Along the line of what you said, we as humans, we take 20 breaths a year, a day, 20,000 breaths a year. Let me correct myself. So out of these 20,000 breaths, how many of them do we even think about breathing or have some intention behind it? So if we just take that step of being with our breaths more during the day, we have taken a step towards building towards that intentionality. Because Michael, what you just told me, that you, that pause that you take for yourself, that is something that many people not only haven't done it for years, but they are not even aware of it. It's not even in their purview. To them, vacation is, let's just go to a resort and sit in the sun, because they have been so busy that they need that sitting in the sun and doing nothing. They thinking that they are doing nothing because sitting in the sun is doing something still. But that is their idea of a vacation. But we have to think about, is this going to prepare us for my next step? Is this going to prepare me for my next year? Where am I headed with all of these things? So I want to take this one step further, Michael, to bring the term productive pause. All those thoughts that you shared are questions that you're asking yourself. And sometimes people need a space to think about themselves and be asked those questions. Be asked those questions within the context of their organization, what they are doing, their ambitions, their five-year plan, their legacy they want to leave. However it is that they can feel like, I live the life of achieving my full potential. And whenever the time comes, I don't have regrets, because nobody knows when the time comes.
Yeah, it can come at any moment, and it's, you know, not something to fear. It's just, you know, being prepared. And I love how you said that productive pause. And I think that people, even that do, you know, reflect a little bit, they may not be using it in a productive way. They just might, you know, glance at, you know, their calendar, their schedule, like, oh yeah, I remember that meeting, or, you know, I did that, but they don't celebrate, you know, what they've accomplished over a year. And one organization was a Fortune 500 organization that I worked for a long time ago. It's frightening how long ago it was. But one of the things that we did, because we were part of a project management team where we worked with clients on a variety of different projects. And at the end of each of those projects, the project team would meet, and then there'd be a couple people from other projects that would come into the meeting as well. And we talk about what went well, you know, what didn't, what did we learn from it? Did we pick up any insights on things? And then the outside people that weren't involved at all in the project would input on some things that they've been experiencing with other projects that may have been similar to that. And we got it to the point where we were so good at improving these product launches and these projects that we were managing, that we were able to increase the number of projects that we took on by 20%. And we didn't hire any additional staff. We just got more efficient and cleared some things and implemented some tools and techniques that streamline a lot of things that we're doing that weren't necessarily giving us that return on investment. But by doing that and doing that productive pause at the end of every project, mm-hmm. improved, our sales by 20%, which of course headquarters were quite impressed with that, going, wow, can you apply that to other divisions? Because that is a big jump without, again, investing any new dollars in hiring people or branding or marketing or anything like that. We just got more efficient on things. And it was so surprising for me later on when I went to other organizations and there'd be projects and those organizations didn't do it. You finish a project, you say, okay, the next project is this. We didn't take time to celebrate or acknowledge that we actually completed something. And I think too many people do that. They just fly right by the tasks that they do and they don't take even a moment to go, that feels good. I got that done. I'm glad I'm finished with that. Subconsciously, they might be thinking that, but consciously they're, what's next? They're just working off a to-do list, but they're not spending any time just reflecting on it and going, okay, what went well? What didn't? What could I do better? So that little bit of improvement every day makes a huge difference down the road. Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. I really like the word efficiency that you used and tying it back to this pause, Michael, because there is something we all need to understand. How efficient we are, it is directly correlated to our state of mind. When we are overwhelmed, the simplest, smallest things are challenge. And when we are at a state of calm, we are able to see even some of the bigger challenges as an opportunity to tackle. And this shift in mindset is such an important thing. Who wants to go and think that I have to climb Mount Everest without being prepared for it? I don't think anybody will be up for the challenge. But if we think that, oh my God, it is just another mountain, then we will give it a try. It doesn't mean that we will definitely succeed, but we are willing and able to give it a try. So I like that tying it back to the efficiency, because that state of mind will determine how much energy and capacity we can put in there for ourselves. But there is another point in here that we have to understand, which is productivity. There is a myth around productivity that makes people what I call island hoppers. They think that, okay, I got this. What next? What next? They want to go to the next island. I mean, think about this. A lot of us work on a promotion or the next step, whatever that might be. It takes 2-3 years to get to this step. And I bet you not within 2 weeks, people are thinking, okay, what else can I do here? What is the next step? And being able to build some capacity in ourselves that we are not always on the lookout, it helps us to be in a more calm and present state rather than always thinking of, okay, I did this. What is next? You know how exhausting that can be to us?
It's very exhausting, and it doesn't allow you to rest. And when people, I do a lot of work around burnout recovery and HR retention and things like that. And one of the things that I hammer home with people is you have to focus on getting good sleep, because that way your body repairs the damage you do to yourself on a daily basis. And I don't care if you eat well or don't, if you don't exercise or you do, you can live the healthiest of lifestyles, but you still are stressing your body out because of the information we're consuming or circumstances that are out of our control. We're focusing too much on that. Mm-hmm. By focusing on what we can control and how to be our best version of ourselves, we will get better sleep because we're confident and happy about what we've accomplished, and we'll rest and, we can start again, but when we're rested, we're better at what we do. If you're not rested, then you're not, and you're already starting off, hindered by the daily activities from yesterday that kind of carry forward to today. And that just piles up over time and can create a lot of health problems for you, both physically and mentally. So a hammer home for people, it's like, make sure you get the best amount of sleep you can. That's you get that under control, then you can start making improvements in other aspects of your life. But if you can't even sleep well, then you're already up against the odds in being able to pause or reflect, because you're going to be too fatigued to rest, which is kind of a weird thing to say. But I know a lot of people that are in that. They're just too tired to rest.
Yes. Because even resting needs capacity, Michael. So we have to think about this. Everything needs a capacity, and ability to rest needs the capacity to be able to rest. Because if we are all the time in the planning mode and we are not able to bring down the activity of the brain waves of the brain will be at the level that they are always thinking, and we are not able to bring ourselves to the theta level or the levels of relaxation, so we are not able to have a decent sleep. I want to invite everybody who is listening to this to rate their sleep at night, because I know one of the biggest challenges of the people that I work with them, they don't get a full night's sleep or a restful sleep. That is always a challenge. I am so glad that you're bringing it up. But this diminishes the capacity for decision making, because a fatigued brain cannot be in a position to make good decisions. So one of the things that that executives need to pay attention to, they are paid to make decisions. They are not paid to do the work. They have people who work for them. So you are paid to make decisions. What is your biggest asset? Being able to make good decisions. So it is important that you be neuro-informed about what impact your decision ability, your decision making ability. Like, for if people are interested, I have written a paper on that, which is about the neuro-informed decision making for executives, they understand how they can sharpen their decision making abilities.
Yeah, that will definitely be a good paper for people to read and study, because and we're hearing a lot more, you know, neuro-based, you know, research and studies and diversity and all kinds of different things, which is getting, you know, a deeper insight into how we think, and how we think impacts everything that we do. So it's very important to, you know, let people know where that, you know, where they can get that white paper or anything else. So love this conversation. So why don't you share where people can get that resource and anything else you'd like to share?
Absolutely. So my website is heartmindtuning.com, and they can send me a DM, and my admin will send them a copy of that paper so they can enjoy, and they can really delve into it and see how they can put it into practice, because that's the important thing. There is a gap between knowledge and implementation in our lives. And I want to invite them to read it and see where they fall short, and then we can talk if they need to get further down the road on that.
Well, definitely. It's really important. Yeah. Reading for knowledge or studying for knowledge is great, but if you don't apply anything, you might as well just read a fiction book, because you're not going to apply anything other than be entertained. So really important work you're doing. So thank you so much, Kathy, for your time today. Be sure to have that information in the show notes. And again, thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Breakfast Leadership Show, part of the Breakfast Leadership Network. Visit breakfastleadership.com for tips on empowering your business and your life.